for our worship service to be special, we must do and give our best. Act like we are doing the most special service to the most special one in our lives. Honoring God is done with our best. First fruits. The word first fruits is used a number of times in the Old Law, as well as first, best. To honor God with our best, we receive blessings in return. In the book of Malachi, if you will, Malachi chapter 3, you might notice with me beginning at verse 7. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. We find a similar idea in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 5. 2 Corinthians 9, beginning at verse 5. So I thought it necessary to urge the brethren that they would go on ahead to you and arrange beforehand your previously promised bountiful gift, so that the same would be ready as a bountiful gift and not affected by covetousness. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And then in verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. Now, I read all that to simply illustrate a principle of when we give God our best, when we're not stingy, when we are gracious and merciful to give, God is gracious and merciful to give to us abundantly everything that we need. Again, to honor God, to give God our best, increases our own blessings. This morning, I would really like for us to concentrate. I'm not exactly sure where to categorize this sermon. A PowerPoint did not seem appropriate. I want to talk to us a little bit about things of old. I want to talk to us about things now. I want to talk to us a little bit about giving God our best. When you study the old law, there is no doubt there are a number of passages that deal with the idea of God and our service first. 386 times in the Old Testament, first. 30 times in the Old Testament, best. You're quite familiar with the idea of the first fruits when there was harvest. The first fruits were dedicated to God. From animals, the firstborn was significant and important. The best, dedicated to God. When the Jews came before God through the Levitical priesthood, there's this major detail about all the things that they had to go through ceremonially, cleansing, the clothes that they wore, the service that they gave. And if you will, my understanding was that they needed to be careful exactly what they were doing. They had to make sure they crossed every T and dotted every I. And you find that over and over and over again, there were those who did not pay attention to that. Nadab and Abihu comes to mind, and God struck them dead. In the book of Malachi, where we just began our reading in chapter 3, the priesthood during the time, some 450 years before Christ, was just not what they were supposed to be. So when we stop to think about the old law was written for our learning, I wonder what we learn from all of that minute detail of the best first fruits to God. To say that in New Testament times, and I'm speaking now of today, that we are a little bit more laid back is really pretty much an understatement. A lot of things have changed. Now, I'm not suggesting we wear robes as did the Levitical priesthood. There's not even an assigned wardrobe for us. But does that mean that there's not a best? When you look to the Word of God, both old and new, there is something that is characteristic, foundational in serving God. First, is God gets priority. That's not a New Testament concept. God must be first. We see that consistently throughout the Bible. God is God, and we are His creation. And God's laws, both patriarchal, Mosaic, Christian, have a key ingredient. We all worship and honor God and put Him first above all else. Spiritual matters are more important than physical. That is a truth that cannot be denied. But where the problem usually lies for most of us is trying to determine how we today demonstrate that. We can say God is very important to us. But how would we demonstrate that? Sanctification of God. Sanctification is a word that means to set aside or to make holy. In other words, you separate that from other things and it's special. An example of that is in 1 Peter chapter 3. And the process of sanctification begins in our hearts. You remember that Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, but sanctify Christ as Lord, in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense. And I might just say this, the fact that we should always be ready to make a defense means that spiritual matters are more important than physical. You're always ready to make a spiritual account. For that to happen, you must sanctify. That is, set apart in your heart, your minds, that the Lord is holy. That He's more important than anything else. He's first. So when we do that, that is a motivating factor for us in all that we say and that all that we do. In other words, in a very practical way, if you have sanctified God or sanctified the Lord in your hearts, and spiritual is more important than physical, then every decision you make, everything you do, is a result of that first primary truth. Everything comes from that. But when we don't sanctify Christ as Lord in our hearts, then other things take priority. Other things are more important. What you learn in the entire Bible about reverencing God and giving the best, the first fruits, is that it must be voluntary. We just read in 2 Corinthians 9 about the idea that God loves a cheerful giver. Yes, God has commanded the idea of sanctification, honoring Him, putting Him first. He's commanded that. But what does He want from us? Well, He wants us to do all of that because we have to. Well, that's unacceptable. It's always been unacceptable to God. Serving Him because you have to. We serve Him voluntarily. There must be a willing mind. You can't make people honor God. You can't make people give their best, do their best, serve their best when it's compulsory. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, one of the greatest examples in the Bible about this truth, the Macedonian brethren were quite exemplary. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you notice what type of brethren they were. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given to the churches of Macedonia. That in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. They were being persecuted. They were being treated badly. They had it rough. They were poor. But notice how they lived their life. They were givers. They were servers. Verse 3, for I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, How do you give beyond your ability? You go the extra mile. They gave of their own accord, voluntarily. Verse 4, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. I would like to suggest to you that that passage is the definition of the idea of sanctifying Christ as Lord in your hearts. That's the definition. That's what it means. Well, you find throughout the Bible, God has always wanted, demanded this voluntary spirit. But throughout history, we see that rarely did He receive it. This idea of the best that we have to God, again, it's not a New Testament concept. Nothing defiled, nothing tainted, nothing blemished would ever be accepted of God. Ever. In the book of Leviticus, this is just another example of how it's expressed in God's law. Leviticus 22. Leviticus 22, verse 21. When a man offers a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord to fulfill a special vow or a freewill offering of the herd or the flock, it must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it. There are lots of passages like that. And giving the best to God, giving your best, is then true reverence and honoring God. Time and time again, we're told to respect, reverence, worship God, honor Him. But not just any old way. Not haphazardly, not halfway, not cheaply. But the best. That's how you honor God. Under the old law, that had to do with physical things like grains, foods, animals. But God intended it to be of heart also. An example of God's attitude. When there were things given by His people to Him that was not their best. Back to the book of Malachi for a moment. In the book of Malachi, if you will, chapter 1. Beginning in verse 6. Malachi 1, verse 6. A son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you. O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? Verse 7, you are presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, but how have we defiled you? In that you say the table of the Lord is to be despised, but when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? And now, will you not entreat God's favor? that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. Those are some powerful words. And that was to the priests. What did he say? God said, I'm sick and tired of you offering the lame and the blind to me. I tell you what, take those blind sacrifices and those lame and diseased animals and give them to your governor and see what that gets you. Thus, God uses an analogy that I would like to use. Evidently, God recognized the fact that there are certain circumstances where we put on our best and do our best, like those that are rulers or in authority. And why do we do that? Well, they're special. Just recently, former Vice President Pence went to Florida College in Tampa, Florida, for a leadership conference. And there were hundreds of people that were there. And my guess is that was a fundraiser for the school. Big bucks per plate, per table. But as you looked out over the audience of all of these people, most of them Christians, they were dressed and looked really sharp. I'm really hoping that you all don't misunderstand my point today. I will say again, God does not prescribe a particular code of dress for us today. All I'm trying to get us to do is ask ourselves a sincere question. Is it our best? And if you went to see the governor, how would you dress? If you went to see President Pence, or Vice President Pence, excuse me, he might be president one day, I don't know. But Vice President Pence, what would we look like? On Facebook, it's quite obvious there are certain events that many of us attend and so forth and so on. And we look really different in those pictures than we do here. Now here's my question. While there's not per se a dress code, and I'm not saying you got to wear a tie to get to heaven, I really have wished through the years someone would find scripture to say that these were unscriptural. That would be great. I'd be happy with that. Or that these things cause cancer. Quit wearing them. I'm good with that. That's not the point. The point is simply this. God wanted the people to think, you give me, that is God, less than you would give to your governor. There's something wrong with that picture. So I thought, you know, that's really a great point for today. And it's not just about dress. I think it's about our attitude. It's about our disposition. Now let me back up and say it this way. I would have loved to have gone down to Tampa and seen Vice President Pence. My understanding is that everyone was called by the government, checked out. Before you could go in there, they said you can't even take a pencil in that room. You know, that was a special event. That was a very special event. Why? Because the vice president was there. And who's the vice president? He's somebody very special. How do we dress? Very special. How do we act? Very special. When we come together to worship the creator of the universe, do we treat this as very special? I'm just asking the question. What would that look like if we treated it very special? We're only coming before our God, who is higher than the governor or the vice president. This is the most special event that you ever attend. Ever. Does that affect the way I dress, the way I act, and how I serve? So I got to thinking a little bit more about that. God has not prescribed a uniform for us today as He did the Levitical priesthood. Or did He? The new law seems to emphasize the idea of how we dress in heart. We are priests unto God. And when we approach God, and as we are here worshiping God, we must treat it special. Let me give you a few examples of that. When I'm in Africa, I've shown you many pictures of that. And the ladies especially, they come in their bright, colorful hats, bonnets, dresses, and that is special to them, worshiping God. The men, they come, if they have them, their coats and their ties, and you can just tell by looking at all of these extremely poor people that they're doing their best to put their best foot forward. Is God concerned about whether you wear a tie or not? Probably not. Is God concerned as to whether or not you wear, ladies, the brightest dress that you have to worship God? Probably not. But what is He interested in? That you understand when you come together on the first day of the week, this is the most special event because you're worshiping the most special one in your life. And we need to act it. We're not coming to a ball game. Don't dress like you're going to a ball game, because you're not. We're not going to an entertainment concert. Don't dress like that. You're coming to worship God. Now, we don't have any kind of someone standing at the door. The elders don't do that. And this is appropriate, that's not appropriate. No, we don't do that. But I wonder if God does. He looks down upon us. When we gave this morning, how did we give? Was that our best? Or was it what was left over? The proverbial way to give to God is, oop, when they announce the giving. Oop, I forgot to write a check. Let me see. Here's a dollar. Is God going to accept that? God's the judge. The way I dress, the way I talk, the way I listen. Here's another one. The way I prepare Saturday night for Sunday. Think about that a moment. We run and gun. We go. We play. We work. We wear ourselves out. And we come to worship God on Sunday, we are worn plumb out, we're tired, we're just not mentally here, emotionally not here, and we come and sit and barely can make it through an hour. Cognizant. Is God going to accept that? Now again, the lesson, again, I don't know how I would PowerPoint that. I don't know how to categorize the lesson. I'm asking a lot of questions, and I'm not saying I have all the answers. All I'm asking is for all of us to stop a moment. When services start at 10, we should be here in our seats ready to go. Why? Because this is the most special event in the world. And you're worshiping the most special one in the world. Be here ready to go on time. Why? You would do that for the governor. You would do that for Pence. Do it for God. Be rested, ready to go, excited, enthusiastic about where you are and what's going on. Sing out, pray, serve God, pay attention. Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Well, we know those things. My fear for me and for all of us, we become too laid back. It's like we just a normal old thing. No wonder our young people maybe see us not enthusiastic or zealous about what we're doing. And they learn from that and they don't see what we're doing as anything significant or a big deal either. Well, that's what I come to tell you today. Now, what does all that mean? I struggle personally. 2 minutes after we sang a song, able to tell you what we just sang. I struggle with keeping my thoughts clear to worship God and honor Him without thinking about other things I've done or going to do. It takes all of my effort to not allow babies, movement, up and down, kids, adults, distracting. Now, am I saying everybody should come in here and sit down and never say a word and never move? No. I'm just saying, it's a struggle when everything is normal. But brethren, do not ever leave this building and not have given your best. Give it your best. Do your best. Would that change our service? If all of us did that? Probably. What ways? I don't know. It would be great to see. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is as good as it gets. Our God is a great God. He does not deserve to be treated second or third fiddle like. So where that changes, it changes with each of us in our hearts. I hope you'll make up your mind to give God your best. Can't be forced. Can't be coerced. You got to voluntarily serve the Lord with your best. If you're not a Christian,
You need to come to God and give your best, because He will bless you more than you can imagine. If you're a child of God and you've just been going through the motions, Sunday after Sunday, you dread the day coming because we've got to go to church again. That's probably your fault. Check your heart. Give God your best. God will not accept anything less. Ever. Won't you come as we stand and sing?
All to Jesus.